Bruchim Haboyim, welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, the authentic insights into authentic classical Sifrei Musar podcast, episode number 2. And this is going to be continuation of number 1, which was an introduction to the Shari Tshuva of Chosid Rabbeinu Yonah Migewundi. And before we actually begin, which we're going to, Emet Hashem, in another few minutes, I just want to read a little something from the Chidah in the Shem HaGadolim, which discusses the question that I mentioned in the previous podcast: is Rabbeinu Yonah a Talmid of the Ramban? But we're not going to go into that intricate subject now. I just want to read what he says over here, that everybody who reads the Shari Tshuva and the Sefer Hayira of Rabbeinu Yonah, Yaskil Kudushosoi V'chasidusoi V'libo Yemahir L'shuv Ki Divrei Kudushosoi Nichnosim B'leiv V'hayu L'mo'oyois. Everybody who reads his Sfarim, he mentions specifically Shari Tshuva and Sefer Hayira, but this is true about all his Sfarim, will really feel his holiness and his piety, and his heart, the person who reads, will very quickly return to the holy domain, as to say, because the Rabbeinu Yonah is going to enter his heart and will illuminate it. And the Chidah, everybody knows, the Chidah, almost every word he writes about people, Gedolim, is based on psukim. This is a beautiful dynamic that the Chidah was very, very extreme with, was always to use words, phrases, and terms based on psukim, gemara, etc. And one of the reasons they did that is, besides the obvious reason that a person has to talk the language and the jargon of the Torah, was to separate Talmidei Chachamim from the lay people, or the amaratzim, the ignoramai. Because a person who's ignorant cannot do this. And, you know, today you have all the digital databases and you can look up psukim, that's very nice. But when you're having a conversation, if a person is an ignoramus, not a Talmud Chacham, he's not going to be able to word his every words according to psukim. And the Chidah knew everything on his fingertips, and that's exactly what he does. But another line I want to read over here is also from the Chidah in the Shema Gedolim, when he's talking about the Shari Tshuva, and that's in the Mareches HaSfarim, the Sfarim department. He says over here, Sho'olim Amitzionim Lo'oyer HaNefesh Li'ira Shomayim V'dvorov HaKadoshim Mo'olim Harbe B'shever Asher Heim Shoivrim. And this is also a play on the psukim in Bereishis regarding the brothers of Yosef, and that Shever Asher Heim Shoivrim is regarding that they went down to buy food stuff for their family. It's called Shever. Why it's called Shever, we'll discuss maybe someplace else. But the Chidah is playing on the language that the words of Rabbeinu Yonah have the capability to penetrate and break a person's stiff heart. And even if he has a heart that's made of stone, the Divrei Rabbeinu Yonah will be able to break it and will enter his heart and bring him to do tshuva. So that is the end. That's the tale from last week's introduction. And, you know, we could go on much more, but we have to get to the Sefer itself. So we're going to begin now. Hashem Niten Chochman Pivdas Zvuna Mishuascha Kivisi Hashem. Shaar HaRishon, the first shaar, the first gate. Be'ur HaTshuva V'Ikoreo. This shaar, this gate, this area, this chapter, as to say, is going to elucidate what exactly tshuva is and what is its main points. Now, the word Ikoreo, main points, roots, pillars, whatever you want to call it, is important because it's not the end of everything. Main points in Torah always have branches and branches to branches, like a tree that goes into branches and branches to branches and more branches. And there are going to be many things that are going to grow, as to say, from these main points. But we want to first get down the main points, what tshuva is and what its main pillars are, and then we can examine what the branches are about. Now, two general things we have to lay down before we start talking about tshuva, and that is that in authentic Yiddishkeit, in authentic Jewish religious rules and thought, etc., there is no such thing as a free lunch. There is no such thing as a person's sins, his chatoyim, being wiped away for nothing. That doesn't happen. And especially, you know, the Christian said that Oisaish Yoshka came and was killed in order to atone for the entire world. And that got everybody off the hook. Now they can do whatever they want and don't have to worry about it, because he not only did he atone for everything that happened until he died, he was killed by the Romans, but he atoned for everything that will be in the future also. That's a very, very free lunch for a lot of people. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. You don't have to hook very easy. And a lot of people who are listening to this have probably in their lives ran into missionaries on street corners in America. It's a little less over here in Yerushalayim, but you have it also. And they're going to always give this very, very stupid and false analogy that if you have a fine in court and your mother comes and pays for it, you're off the hook. So in the same way, Yoshka paid for your sins. And this analogy is openly false, and it's easily available to see how ridiculous it is. But let me ask you a question, Mr. Missionary. If you have a jail sentence, or chas v'shalom, somebody has a death sentence, and a mother of the convicted individual comes and says, I cannot see my little baby sitting in jail and rotting away. I'm going to sit in jail for him, and she can go out. There is no judicial system in the world that would accept that. And this is very revealing, the difference, the way that Yiddishkeit, authentic Yiddishkeit, looks at a chatoyim, averoi's sin, and the way goyim look at it. When goyim talk about sin, they're not really feeling how severe it is. It's like a fine, a parking fine. And yes, your mother can get you off the hook for a parking fine. But more severe crimes, your mother can't get you off the hook. A lot of mothers would, you know, rather have themselves killed than see their baby in the electric chair, but it doesn't work. And that is because the goyim look at sin, chatoyim, like a parking fine. But Yiddishkeit looks at sin and much, much, a felony, much, much more severe. And that can, other people can't get you off the hook. Nobody can get you off the hook from the averus that somebody has done. Now, it is true that we will run into, probably in the course of these lectures, certain divrei chazal that seem to say there is some way to alleviate a person's averus and give him a atonement without him doing so much. Yes, I know these exist, but the Rambam has taught us already that in Yiddishkeit there are pillars, there are ikrim, and when we run into something which doesn't square with that, a chazal or a posik or a godel who says something, we don't move the ikr and take the example that was brought before us. The ikr stays the way it is, and we have to explain what is being said. Now, we might not always be able to explain, but you don't move pillars because of questions. And the first pillar is there is no such thing as a free lunch. Nobody gets off the hook without doing tshuva. So we have to really, really appreciate Rabbeinu Yonah is giving us the ultimate solution to our sins. Without it, there is no way to be forgiven. That's the first pillar of tshuva. Another pillar is the fact that there is nobody in the world who cannot do tshuva. And no matter, and Rabbeinu Yonah has expressed this immediately here, but we have to always keep in mind that no matter what situation a person is in, no matter how low he has fallen, he can come back. And again, over here also, if we see in Chazal, in Midrashim, or anywhere, something which appears on face value to be contrary to this, well, that has to be explained, but the Iker doesn't move. And the ikker is that everybody has the capability. Yes, for some people it might be very difficult and very challenging, but everybody has the capability to do tshuva. So let's begin. Biura tshuva v'ikoreh, shah rishon. Min ha-toivois. Oh, and by the way, I think it would be very therapeutic that the listeners have a shari tshuva in front of them, if that's possible, and not driving or something, and can follow along. But even if they can't, I'll try to pronounce every word as clear as possible. Min ha-toivois, from the good things, asher hitiv Hashem yizborach imbuav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done with the things that, with the people that he has created. There are many, many great good things and favors that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon people and upon Klal Yisrael. And tshuva is one of them. So it's min ha-toivos, from among the great many of toivos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done favor with his creation that he has created. Ki hichin lehem, he has already prepared for them haderech, the way, la'alois, to ascend, mitoich pachas maseim, from the pit of their bad actions. A pachas means a pit. Some say it means a deep pit, some say it means a shallow pit, but it's a pit. And when person does chatoyim, when person does things that are wrong, he is in a pit and he's got to get out of there. Vulanus, and to run away. Lus means like to run away frantically. Mipach pishayim, from the snarl, the trap of their sins, their averas, their pshayim. So regarding the actions, it's called he's in a pit, and regarding the avera part of the actions, it's called a trap. Now I'm not going to go into an answer to every little thing that we notice it changes in different lashonos in the wording, but it's important to notice these changes even if we don't go into them. Okay. Lachsoich nafsham, to lachsoich comes from the word choshech. It means to remove, to clean, to negate. Lachsoich nafsham, to keep their soul safe away, mini shachas, from destruction. Ulahoshiv ma'aleim apoy, and to set back HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath from on them. When a person has done something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with him, as to say, and that's very important. We must know that when a person is doing things wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with him, and that should keep you up at night. Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say that a clean conscience is the sign of a bad memory. If a person is disturbed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him, as to say, that's a good sign. If you are complacent, you're totally relaxed, you don't have anything to worry about, you have a clean conscience, to say, you have a bad memory. You better start remembering it. V'limdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught them, v'hizhirom, and also urged them, and admonished them, loshuv elov, to return to him, ki echetuloi, when they will sin towards him. In other words, he didn't only prepare the way, but he's also telling you, do it, do it, do it, you better do it, do it, do it, do it. Lo'oiv tuvoi v'yoshoi. This is because of his great goodness and his... Now, yoshoi is usually translated honesty, but that doesn't really fit Kodesh Boko. His righteousness, his goodness and his righteousness, and tshuva is a very, very righteous gift on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's part that he's given us, that we can get out of our troubles. Ki hu yada yitzom, he knows our yitzahara, and he knows that we are prone to sin. Now, a person is never forced to sin. A person has absolute free choice. That's a very, very important pillar of Yiddishkeit. But it that's the way things unfold usually, is that a person happens to sin. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows this, how strong the Yetzirah is. He created it, and it's there for our good. We'll talk about that maybe some other time. And therefore he compensated the Yetzirah, the urge to sin, with a way to get out of the pit and the trap that we are in. Shenemar, as it is said, Toi v'yosher Hashem, good and upright is, as to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Kain, and therefore, Yoyrech HaToyim B'dorech. He teaches the sinners in the way to return. So that's exactly what he said before. That he teaches us to how to do tshuva, limdom, and Yoyra also has a connotation that he's encouraging it and admonishing us. You better do this. That's what the word Yoyra means. You see the word, it's similar to the word Yira, fear, because it's going to be a commandment. And this is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness and his uprightness. And as we said before, every single word in the Rabbeinu Yonah is going to bring a proof from the Torah, and he just did that. That this is comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness and phenomenal uprightness. He's going to teach us the way to do tshuva, and he's going to encourage and admonish and motivate us to do it. V'imhirbu lifshoya, and even if people have greatly done terrible things, lifshoya means to rebel. And that's the next word, limroid. That means to rebel, but lifshoya means to throw off the yoke of the Torah. And even if they have greatly done so, ubegid boigdin bagodu, and they have been very treacherous and not been honest, as to say, they have betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu greatly. And in Lashon HaKodesh, when you want to emphasize something, use a double thing. So it's beged boigdim, they greatly begodu, have been treacherous and been dishonest and betrayed. And I sometimes say that this may be a play on the word beged, which means a garment. They have put on garments of treachery and deceit and betrayal, but that's maybe a little bit of drush. Okay, but even if they have greatly betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo sagar ba'adam dalsei tshuva, he has not closed in front of them the doors of tshuva. They can always do tshuva, no matter how far they have sunken. Now, how do we know that? Maybe there's a limit. You've gone too far. You can't come back. And he immediately brings the proof for that. Shenemar, shuvu, return. This is in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. The Navi is saying, return la'asher to him, hemiku sora, that you have deeply gone astray from. Okay? So, la'asher means to the one. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Return to him that you have deeply gone away from. So we see that they have deeply gone away from. So, and he's telling them to return. So you see that they can return, even though they are very deep in the pit. V'nemar, and it is further said, shuvu banim shoivivim, return. Shoivivim means like wild, without, you know, very, very, not orderly behavior, but it's a very strong word. Shuvah banim, return children that are very, very violently wrong. Elpa meshuvah seichem, I will cure, as to say, when you return. So we see that even though they're called shuvavim, that's a very strong negative word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying return. So there, that's two proofs that even though a person, somebody, Chas v'Shalom, has sunken very, very low and is in a very bad situation, the doors of tshuva are still open to him. V'uzhanu ala tshuva b'kama makom estura. We were admonished, warned, encouraged, motivated to do tshuva in a lot of places in the Torah. V'hizbara, and it become clear from these places, ki ha-tshuva mekubelis, tshuva of a person is accepted, gam ki yoshuv, even if returns, achoite, the sinner, may roiv tzoroisom, even if he is returning because of great many tzoros that he has, trepidations, bad happenings. Now, it's important to note over here, the Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about somebody who is motivated to do tshuva because of his tzoros, but he has to be sincere. if he doesn't really mean to regret and all the other parts of his sins, but he's totally only thinking about himself, that's not going to be very valuable. But a lot of times what happens is that somebody, you know, is living the good life, everything's honky-dory, and then all of a sudden he gets a call from the doctor that his blood test showed, and he starts thinking, you know, maybe I should do an inventory check and take a look at what I'm doing is correct or not. So over there, that case, or he's suffering problems with his parnassa, with his job, with his health, with his family, with anything, a person wakes up to do tshuva. But it has to be sincere. But even though the initial alarm that was sounded to wake him up was the bad things that are happening to him, that is accepted tshuva, if he's sincere. Kol shkein im yoshu miyus Hashem v'avosei. Certainly, if he returns to Hashem due to Yirah Shemayim, a fear out of Hashem, and the fact that he loves Hashem. A person sometimes matures in Yiddishkeit, and might learn a little bit of Musar, hears some Musar Shmuz or something, ignites the spark in his soul to think how Kodesh Baruch Hu has been so good to him, and he's really been misbehaving, and he decides, I got to do tshuva, I got to get rid of all this garbage in my inventory. And that is certainly very, very admirable, and his tshuva will certainly be accepted. Now, again, there's a novel thought over here that even if the initial alarm was bad things that happened to him, that doesn't degrade from the tshuva that he does, if it's sincere. And he brings a proof to that. Shenemar, b'tzar lecha, when it will be very, very difficult for you, u'mutza'ucha, and you will find, kol advarim ha'ele, all the terrible things that the Torah is talking about in that parsha, b'achalisa yomim, in the end of days, v'shavta ad Hashem aleikecha, v'shamata b'koiloi. So there you go. It's called tshuva. And it's talking about it's mentioning that when you find all the bad things that are mentioned there. So this, the Torah is talking about over here, somebody or a group of people that were inspired to return to Hashem because of their tzaris. And it's called tshuva, so that counts. V'hizbar b'Torah, and is clearly evident in the Torah, ki yazar Hashem l'shovim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help those who do tshuva, kasher ein yad tiva maseges, much more than their nature would be able to acquire and succeed with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them extra strength and extra understanding and extra insight that without the tshuva their nature would not have been able to understand. V'yechadish b'kirbam, and he will ignite within them ruach tahira, a pure ruach spirit, lahasig malas ahavosoi, to be able to acquire the highest madrega, which is a havosay, to love Hashem. The Chovas Havavi says that the highest madrega a person can come to is to love Hashem, and that's not easy to acquire. But when a person does tshuva, he gets a bonus because it's usually very difficult, and he deserves it in Hashem's righteous judgment. It gives him a help to acquire a havas Hashem, but he's going to have to make the right choices. It's not going to come as a free lunch. All of a sudden, a person's going to wake up and boom. After doing tshuva, he loves the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's going to be given opportunities and insights to acquire Ahavas Hashem, but he has to make the right choice. And now he's going to bring a proof from a pasuk again, as usual, that people that do tshuva can acquire a higher level of closeness to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'shavta ad Hashem elikecha, and you will return to Hashem, your God, v'shamata b'koyle, and you will hear His voice, you will hearken to His voice, His commandments, k'chol asher anuichim etzavecha ayoyim, ata uvanecha, b'chol levavecha, with all your heart, you and your children, with all your heart, and b'chol nafshecha, and all your soul, your mind. So that's one pasuk, okay? But then, he's continuing the proof. One pasuk says, you will return to Hashem, and you will listen to him, etc., etc. And then the pasuk after that says, "Va'omer begufa inin." It says in the subject matter there, "Umal Hashem elikecha," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will circumcise es levavcha, ves levav zarecha, and you, your heart and the heart of your offspring, lahasig ahavosoi. Now Hashem is circumcising their heart, as to say, what does that mean? The tshuva itself was mentioned in the previous pasuk v'shavta. So this extra pasuk has to be talking about another loftier level than a person will acquire, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as I say, will circumcise his heart, will cut away the, you know, the bad parts of his personality, and because a person has made the initial movement on his own, and he will be able to acquire the loving Hashem, but he has to do it. So the point is that everybody knows that that a lot of times when a person actually does the correct tshuva, he's much more prudent, everything, he's much more careful about things, and that's very good. Okay? And the Chovas HaVavos mentions that sometime, this is a little bit of a dangerous statement, so don't abuse it, an aveira can cause a person to do more mitzvahs than a mitzvah can. And the point being is that sometimes when a person is in a very deep, low level in Yiddishkeit, and he rebounds, it's called in English resilience, and jumps back, he jumps up to a higher level. So the aveira in some way has caused him to do a mitzvah. Now people can abuse that and say, okay, I'm going to do an aveira and then do tshuva, but we're going to learn later on that he will not be successful in that. Don't ever do that. Think about that. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu will help this person to become much closer to him if he continues on the right path, doing the right thing. So it's really, really worth a person's while to get into the tshuva mode, and don't leave aveiras hanging around. And we'll see about leaving aveiras hanging around in another few paragraphs. V'anevim v'aksuvim dibu tomid al dvar tshuva. And the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the writings spoke always about tshuva. Now, when he says Nevi'im over here, he doesn't only mean the books of the Nevi'im. I saw somebody wrote that, and that's a mistake. Of course, in the books of the Nevi'im, it's recorded, but the Nevi'im talked a lot about things that are not recorded in their books. Yishayahu HaNavi, there are over 50 prakim of his Nevu'ah, but he talked much more than that, and all the Nevi'im did. There were over a million prophets in Klal Yisrael over the generations, and most of the material we don't have. But what do you think they were talking to Klal Yisrael about? They were giving them Musar and saying, do tshuva, do tshuva, do tshuva. Aksuvim, I think it's safe to assume, it does mean the books of Tehillim, Mishlei, Kehelet, etc. But when it says Nevi'im, it means the Nevi'im, their books, but it also means the Nevi'im themselves. Dibu tamid al dvar tshuva. They spoke all the time about tshuva. So much so, ad kibo ikoreya tshuva kula mufoyoshim idivayim kasher yizbar. And they spoke so much about it that all the pillars of tshuva come out of openly what they talked and wrote about, as we will see. And the Rabbeinu Yonah is going to be the guide how we are going to see in the Nevi'im and in the Ksuvim all the pillars and main points of tshuva. We'll continue here in another few days. Goodbye.